This morning, I'll conclude my November homily series on the four last things. So, a couple of weeks ago, we reflected together on death and judgment. Last week, I preached on heaven. So, yes, you're right. Today, we'll reflect on H-E double hockey stick. Hell. But don't worry, it won't be fire and brimstone. But what does the scriptures and the teaching of the church have to say on hell? Well, first of all, we know that each and every one of us are made for eternal communion with God. And part of the great dignity of being a human person is that we are created in His image and likeness. And to be created in the image and likeness of God not only means that we have intelligence, we have an intellect and a will, but it means we have the capacity for love. Because we know that the deepest revelation that Jesus Christ gives us of who God is that God is a Trinity, a communion of persons, a communion of charity. You and I are created in His image and likeness. But part of the nature of love is that love has to be free in order for it to be true. I think we have a sense of this every time we see a couple standing at the altar exchanging vows in the sacrament of holy matrimony. One of the questions that's asked to the couple is, have you come here freely and without coercion? Right? Because if a couple is giving their love to one another, but they're being coerced by some external pressure, then they're not really free. And if they're not free, then there's not the true capacity of love to seal the covenant of marriage. So it is in our relationship with God. God doesn't want slaves. He wants lovers. But part of the dignity and the responsibility, right? Our age likes to talk about rights, but rarely do we reflect on responsibility. Part of our responsibility in dignity is that we can choose God or we can reject Him. I said it last week, heaven is like an acquired taste, and not everybody wants what God has to offer. We want happiness, sure, but many want happiness on their own terms, not on God's. So, we have to make a choice. And our choice for or against God is cemented in this life. That's why Jesus says in the Holy Gospel, you're either with me or against me. There's no middle ground in following the Lord and His gospel. The good news is there's repentance in this lifetime, but at the moment of our death, our decision is sealed eternally. Now, another truth of our faith is we have an enemy, the enemy of our human nature, the devil, who's out to get us. Lucifer rebelled against God before the beginning of creation of this earth. He rebelled and said, non servium, Latin for I will not serve. His pride brought about his downfall. But the book of wisdom says, through the envy of the devil, sin entered the world. Pride caused Lucifer to sin. But he was envious of the human race, because we were created and are created in God's image and likeness. And the devil is out to get anything that can get at God. Why does Satan hate us as a race so much? But that we've been created in God's image and likeness. And more importantly, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, took on our human nature through His incarnation. He became man, born of the Virgin Mary. And so, by targeting the human race, by targeting us, especially Christians, He can target God, who is ultimately who He wants to get at. You and I were created good, right? At the beginning of creation, God looks upon all that he made and says, it is very good. And the teaching of the church is that we didn't lose this ontological goodness after the fall. Original sin has given us a serious spiritual handicap. And even after we have had the stain of original sin washed away through the saving waters of baptism that flows from the cross and resurrection of Christ, we still have what's called concupiscence. Say that word 10 times fast. Concupiscence. Concupiscence stays with us even after our baptism, and we will have it our entire life. It means we're prone to sin. We're created good, we are good, but we have this illness within us, and we gravitate towards sin, towards selfishness, and we have to work against it. But there's good news. I think we throw out that phrase very often. It's kind of trite. We have good news. Christ came to preach good news. We want to proclaim the good news. We have to go out and evangelize. What's the good news? Well, there was bad news before there was good news. Otherwise, there wouldn't be anything good to proclaim. The good news is you don't have to go to hell. It's that simple. The essence of the gospel is that Christ has come to save us from eternal damnation. Think about it. He's come to save those who repent. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' most important and famous sermon ever given, he says this in Matthew chapter 7. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many are on it. Narrow is the path that leads to eternal life, and few walk it. Then he goes on a few verses later to say, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter my kingdom in heaven, but only those who do the will of my heavenly Father. I think sometimes we get this reversed. We think that wide is the path of those on their way towards eternal life. Maybe a few people go to hell. Maybe people like Hitler or Stalin. But, you know, nobody that I know could possibly go to hell. I certainly couldn't. It's not what our Lord says. Now, our Lord doesn't say it because he's out to get us. He says it because he's calling us to repentance and to take the spiritual and the eternal life seriously. You're not going to live in this world for more than 100 years if you're lucky. What's that in comparison to eternity? If you choose to live for yourself in this world and under the dominion of sin, and you're obstinately refusing to obey God's commandments, you won't want to be in his kingdom for eternity. There isn't going to be this, I've spent my life rebelling against him, and now all of a sudden. The Lord is trying to woo us to conversion. Our Lady said at Fatima that souls fall into hell like snowflakes fall to the ground. It should concern us. I think the fact that we've stopped teaching on hell, even though every parable in the gospel Jesus speaks about it, it's amazing how often our Lord talks about hell. He talks about it more than heaven and more than love. Why? Because he's warning us. But I think that the fact that we don't take it seriously is the reason why we don't evangelize. We don't go and preach the good news because we think we're basically okay. We might have a few psychological weaknesses, but nothing too seriously. But sin is always an offense against God and a rebellion against His law. Now, C.S. Lewis says that at the moment of our death, when each one of us stand before Christ, the judge, in Pantocrator, there will be two responses that he tells us. To some, it will be they say to God, "Lord, thy will be done." And he will usher them into his kingdom. Then there will be those who say to God, "My will be done." And they will go into the eternal flames. We have the possibility of choosing God's plan for our life or rejecting it. The saints, while in many ways incredibly flexible to God's providence, were always, in every single case, inflexible on one point. The saints were incredibly flexible on many points in their life, but there was one thing that every single one of the saints was completely and 100% inflexible upon. That no matter what, they did God's will. There is no swerving in any sense from what God has revealed. Brothers and sisters, of course, some of the teachings of the church are unpopular. Of course, it's hard to proclaim the gospel and call people to conversion. But have we forgotten that the Holy Spirit is pouring out grace when we preach the truth to another? It's hard for me when engaged couples come to me and I have to call them to stop fornicating and cohabitating. Of course I want people to like me. Of course I don't want them to go and not get married in the church. But you know what I found? Is if you preach the truth with meekness but clearness, people will listen. They may get upset, but oftentimes they'll come back. We forget that the Lord always gives grace when the truth is proclaimed. And yes, maybe immediately when we call people to repentance, they may seem to reject it. But in time, they'll come to accept it often. Our Lord failed, if you will. He's a divine person, so he can't fail. But he failed in several miracles and in several calls to conversion, like the rich young man who we heard a few weeks ago. He walked away sad. It's possible to reject God. But God does will that all men be saved. He desires that all will hear the call to repentance. But if we don't take hell seriously as a real possibility for us and for others, we shouldn't assume, "I know so-and-so is going to hell." Sometimes it seems like it, but we can't. But we can say we know that hell is certainly a possibility. We know that if we're living in mortal sin, which is any time that we contradict and live a lifestyle contrary to the revealed truths that are given in Scripture and handed on through the apostolic tradition of the church, that we're in mortal sin. We're living contrary to the will of God. If we're living in mortal sin, we're on a path towards hell. If we repent and confess our sins and turn away, then God freely gives us a promise of eternal life. And Jesus from the cross is trying to awaken us to the seriousness of sin. I think this is one of the most dangerous heresies that's taken hold of the church in the last 30 years. We don't take sin seriously. But what does that say about the cross? Does God take sin seriously? Does he? I think so. That he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We have to take it as seriously as God does. In the book of Hebrews, we're told, brothers and sisters, you have not yet resisted sin to the point of the shedding of your blood. Christ did, though. We have to actively fight against the temptation of the devil, the flesh, and the world, and realize there is an enemy trying to drag us into hell and drag others. And the sooner we realize that, the sooner we can begin to evangelize and bring souls to Christ. I want to recommend a book to you. It's called The Old Evangelization: How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus. It's published by Catholic Answers. The author's name is Eric Sammons. The Old Evangelization: How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus. You should read it. Because it gives example after example after example of how our Lord calls us to conversion and challenges us and preaches hard truths into our lives so that we can finally find true joy in life. Hell is hot. Don't go there.